Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
We were talking about the importance of expanding in colleges that make sure it's not just markets, but a great brand. Neil Coulong is a great brand, sir. Welcome.
It was a fantastic compliment. Thank you very much for having me and for saying that as well.
Well, it's you know I mean that. All right. So here we are in this the lull before the training camp storm begins. So give me, Neil, what a couple questions going in that you feel need to be answered by the time they get to the regular season.
Number one, for the Steelers, I think I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, but do you have your quarterback? And there isn't really an option for them anymore, and they've searched high and low. They went through mm-hmm. every option they could possibly have found, mm-hmm. Through every avenue available. Do you have the quarterback? And to paraphrase Bill Parcells, when you have two quarterbacks, or three in this case, you have none. So you have to find out if one of them is head and shoulders above the others. And I don't know if we're going to see that. If I was to make a prediction right now, I think what's going to end up happening is you'll see a Steelers offense that probably isn't particularly outstanding in training camp and in the preseason. And you'll see Kenny Pickett make more head-turning plays than Mitch Trubisky. And with that, the legitimate question will be, should Trubisky be the starter? Should it be Pickett? And a lot of these, it goes down a rabbit hole of more questions that you probably can't answer just through, you know, observation of the game. There's a lot that's going on inside that you aren't sure about. But it will really make you wonder if this team does have one quarterback. And in which case, if you have that question, as Parcells would say, you don't have one. So I can see that being a primary concern of theirs, to the point where I think Trubisky is probably just going to be the anointed starter, and they're going to roll with that to the degree that they have to. They paid for it. I don't think that they anticipated Pickett being available to them in the draft. And with that, they'll go with the guy that they signed because that was the plan. They're designing an offense based around, I would think anyway, Trubisky's ability to run RPOs, not something that Pickett is unfamiliar with, but Trubisky has experience with that at the NFL level. And I think they built up an offensive line and a run game to support that style of play. So I think they'll go with him, but I'm just not sure how great it's going to be. And if that offense can't move the ball, it leads to question two: how healthy can you keep the rest of your defense? How much of them are we going to see? I think, in all fairness, Cam Hayward sacrificed the year off of his career with how hard he had to play the first half of the season, and he was dragging at the end of it. He was legitimately a Defensive Player of the Year candidate for the first, you know, 8 games, maybe 10 games, somewhere in there. He had zero help, zero. And the amount of effort that he had to put into it, you could see it. And it fell apart in their short week game, which is really unfortunate that a team as shallow as the Steelers had to play their short week game late in the season. His worst game in maybe 3 years was that Vikings game. He really did not play well for the first half of that. And it was maybe the only bad game he's really had in quite a while. I wonder if they are deeper now. They have made additions to that. I think Larry Ogunjobi is a great signing. I think a very smart move of them to pick him up, kind of a bargain basement price for a player of his ability. But they needed to add some depth on that defensive line. Montrevious Adams re-signing, I think, is also a great move. When you have Tyson Alualu coming back, I think their defensive line got a lot better. They certainly shuffled things among their linebackers. Probably question number three: what do you have with Devin Bush? Is he a legitimate NFL starting caliber player? And that's really unfortunate that you have to ask the question that way, and that kind of answers it in its own way. But you've got to get more out of him, clearly, not just because he's a number 10 overall pick, but because you can't play defensive football with that poor of inside linebacker playing 900-plus snaps. They clearly have made coaching additions to help with that. I think I would bet on him bouncing back, because I don't know if a player in the NFL can have back-to-back seasons as bad as Bush's was. You hope for their sake that they can get it together, because honestly, if the defense is not playing at a top five level, their offense is not going to carry them. I don't think they have an offensive advantage outside of maybe 2-3 games all year over their opponent. They're going to have to win games on defense and just simple fundamental hang on to the football style offense. That's not a great recipe for success in the NFL, but if they want to get to 9 wins in what's a brutally tough division, their defense is really going to have to play above and beyond what's already a really talented unit. And I think number 4, and this affects 3 teams in the division, how long is Deshaun Watson's suspension? How many games are you going to be able to play against the Browns without Watson, who right now it would seem the backup would be Jacoby Brissett. It's going to be Cleveland's probably got the best roster in the NFL. I think they are at the most important positions. I think they're the best. I like their coaching staff. I have some familiarity with a lot of the guys who were there. I think they do a good job in that regard. Watson, though, was brought in to be the straw that stirs the drink for obvious reasons. He's a high-level player, at least he was the last time we saw him play, getting past everything else that comes with it. If he is on the field, they are fundamentally a better team. I don't know how good they are with Jacoby Brissett, but nobody would rather play the Browns with Watson under center than Brissett. So is that a factor? And from there, how many games does Joe Burrow miss? How many times do you not have to play Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, or the multitude of weapons that they have? Where is Baltimore? I mean, we can twist this around whatever we want. Mm-hmm. It's really hard for anybody to suggest the Steelers do not have the 4th best roster within this division. And if you got to win, call it even 3 games within the AFC North, that's tough. You know, you swept Cleveland last year. Mm-hmm. You swept Baltimore 2 years in a row now. Is that going to continue? You got utterly decimated by Cincinnati twice. 2 humiliating ones, 2 worst division losses they've had in a while.
Right.
Just last season. Is that going to change? You got to probably take at least one off of all of them. And you're going to have to sweep one of them, I think, to win that division. So, are you at a point that you can do that schematically, tactically? Because I don't think from a talent perspective they're just going to be able to do that. They got Baltimore and Cleveland last year. The second of 2 wins against those teams were depleted versions of both of them. You're not going to have that advantage again. And Cincinnati is, you know, a team that walloped you twice. So I don't know if they can pick up those wins or what they're going to do, but it's going to take more than just the guys who are out there.
Neil, for a coach that has a long resume, when you've seen them in action for years and years, you get an idea of how they think about personnel, and also when it comes time to make a decision on a quarterback, what's their thought process. Bill Cowher's the one that elevated Ben Roethlisberger, not Mike Tomlin. Does anybody have any insight as to what he's thinking as we watch this play out, because he really hasn't had to do this before?
I think that's an excellent question, an excellent point. I remember thinking that a couple of years back. If you look at the most successful tenured coaches, I don't know what level of tenure you want, but Tomlin has it. Belichick is another comparison, who's going through the same thing right now. These are guys that the overwhelming majority, if not the complete sum, of their NFL head coaching experience was with a Hall of Fame level quarterback who was firmly entrenched and not going anywhere. The success that they had, not coincidentally, came at the time where the Hall of Fame quarterback was playing in their prime. How do you adjust that? And I think the only real fair answer to that is, I think if you knew, you'd probably you know, from age 22 to 89, you'd be the head coach of an NFL team. If you were able to just do that, you wouldn't have a problem. So much of it, I think, is just it's random. It's luck. It's the combination of so many different things. It I don't want to call it an accident, but you almost have to fall into the situation. You know, there was a point in time people didn't worship the ground Andy Reid walked on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was seen as kind of almost a borderline Mike McCarthy type of coach. They didn't like the guy. He wasn't really able to get all these things done. At the very least, he seems pleasant enough, but he doesn't bring with him success on his own. He can't do all of this. Andy Reid is, you know, he's glorified now. He's worshipped now.
Mm-hmm.
In large part, he got the right quarterback to fit what he was doing, and he got the quarterback. He adjusted around the quarterback that he has. So those are two different skills. You have to have the framework of what you want to do, as well as the ability to flip it around to do the things your quarterback is good at. And the genius of what Kansas City has done with Patrick Mahomes as well as Andy Reid is they put the right kinds of players along with them. And to do that, you have to draft well. You have to recruit well in free agency. You have to keep costs down to a certain point. You have to allocate resources to the key players that you need. So you have to know which ones that they are. I would argue, and I think we'll see it this year, and certainly call me out if I'm wrong, I don't think you're going to see Tyreek Hill in the same light that we've seen him the last couple of years.
Agreed.
Because Tyreek Hill is such a unique player, very talented player, don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Mahomes made him, but Tyreek Hill next to Antonio Brown, I think, is probably the most conditioned NFL player I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
The guy ran, you have to watch a lot of it. Mahomes, the genius that Mahomes has, I mean, his arm is fantastic. He does all these Farvian type things as well. He got out of the pocket. He could throw from windows that you didn't think existed. And he just flicks the ball 75 yards down the field. But you look at Hill is running a designed route. The whole play was designed on Tyreek Hill literally running 75 yards to the outside of the field, then back to the inside of the field to exhaust the defender. Nobody can keep up with the guy over a long period of time. He's like a 400-meter sprinter. So Mahomes buys himself enough time and has the arm and the angle ability to get it to this odd place on the field. It's just kind of different for defenses to cover. Their big plays came off of that. I didn't see the same Tyreek Hill last year.
Right.
And I don't think the Chiefs are far off from the conclusions that I draw on my own. I think that's why they traded him. He's not going to be the same guy anymore. Because you can't keep that up. You know, people can't run at that level for all that long of a period of time, certainly not in the NFL. So as far as the coaching goes, you have to adapt and adjust to the right guy. And getting the right guy, then adapting and adjusting, these are all things that are not exactly in your control. There's a bunch of things that have to come with it. So I don't know what Tomlin is going to do, except they're going to try to adjust what they're doing offensively for what they have. I think just this is me. I think we're going to be talking a lot about the RPO this year. You should have last year. You saw the Steelers mm-hmm. try to run RPO last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not a strength of Ben Roethlisberger's. Not something that he was really comfortable in doing. Trubisky, I think, is better at that. So it's not going to be a vertical challenging kind of offense. But I think it will be more efficient. I think you will have better successful balance between your passing and your running. It's probably still going to be shorter. It's not going to be incredibly explosive, but I also think that it's the smart move for what they have. It's the right move. That's what they should do. It's not going to carry with it an extra touchdown a game. And that's because the personnel just isn't there yet. And as a coach, to the degree that, you know, we're discussing this, you can only play the hand that you're dealt. And that's kind of where that's where they are. That's what they have. This is why they drafted Kenny Pickett. This is why Mitch Trubisky only got a 2-year contract. You went and brought a bunch of offensive linemen in. I think that fit more of that style of play, which was smart. They're doing the best that they can do. I don't know how good this team is going to be right now. I like the foundation of what they're building. It's just not going to be much of anything offensively. I think defensively they'll be good, but they haven't solved it yet on offense.
My friend, Thank you so much. As always, appreciate your time, especially in the summer. You make it more interesting. Thank you.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.